At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have the exact same gospel today that we have every year on the second Sunday of Lent. And this gospel stands out because we, in my mind, I'm sure it is in yours, is always linked with 40 hours. It's the time in the year when we always have 40 hours. And what helps with the understanding of that transfiguration of our Lord is that the altar is beautifully transfigured with many candles and flowers in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. So every year we have this gospel twice. Once on the second Sunday of Lent, and then once the other time on August 6th. And today, of course, is every few years it lands on the Sunday. So it's kind of unusual to have it on a Sunday, but this year it is happening as such. And so we want to reflect upon what happened there on Mount Tabor. I've had the privilege of being there myself. That mountain looks to be about as high as, well, maybe not quite as high as Mount Spokane relative to where we are now. So it's a good long drive, and of course they had to do it on foot back then, and I'm not sure how easy it would be even going up on a horse or donkey up the long trail or the road to the top of the mount. But that is where indeed the transfiguration happened, with Peter, James, and John as witnessing it. I see today as also a manifestation of the Holy Trinity, because we hear the voice from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." As far as I know, there's not a direct reference to the Holy Ghost in the three gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But nevertheless, whenever the Father and the Son are there, the Holy Ghost is there too. So I see this as a kind of feast of the Holy Trinity today, and that is why we'll be singing God, Father, Praise, and Glory, to honor all three persons. And this is the greatest, and you might say the most original mystery, that from all eternity, there was the three in one. So today gives us that opportunity to reflect upon the mystery of not only the Trinity, but the incarnation and redemption. One of those three persons became man and literally suffered and died. His soul and body separated. He underwent a true death. Death is when when the soul leaves the body. That is death. And that's literally what happened on the cross. Jesus' poor, tortured body could no longer sustain life. He expired, and his soul, as we say in the Creed, descended into hell. Not the hell of the damned, of course, but the other lower regions. Hell is the term used generically to designate the lower regions, and we know there are at least three of them. There's limbo, there's purgatory, and of course, the hell of the damned. And our Lord's soul went down to limbo right after he died. He may have also visited purgatory. I don't know about that. I don't know for sure. but definitely limbo. But getting back to the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we will never understand this. And I want to share with you a little occurrence that happened to me in the last couple of months. I was traveling and stopped at a coffee shop to catch up on some emails, do some computer work. And I was there for a while. And then I noticed, a man came up to me. He was well-dressed. And he handed me a pamphlet and asked me if I would read it. And I took a quick look at it and then also flipped it over to the backside, and I saw a JW there, Jehovah Witness. And mind you, the Jehovah Witnesses reject the Trinity. They do not believe in the three in one. And so he thought I might make a convert. Little did he know how wrong he was. And as soon as I saw that it was from Jehovah's Witnesses, I said, "You reject the Trinity. Your religion rejects the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And he saw that, as a matter of fact, he said, "I realize we're not going to get anywhere." But he said, he said, "Why would God make such a doctrine that's too hard for us to understand?" And I was respectful, but the absurdity of what he just said really struck me. I said, "God didn't make this doctrine. He is this doctrine. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost, three persons in one God." It's not about a matter of God making up a doctrine. Unfortunately, it's really ridiculous what he said, that God would say, "I'm going to make myself into three persons." God doesn't undergo change. He can't make himself from one person into three. He is three persons. And so we have to submit to that. We have to say, "I believe." It's above my ability to understand. I can understand some of it, but I'll never understand all of it. And out of humility, I have to accept it. Why? Because God told me it is so. Today's gospel for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, which occurs today, which is only commemorated because of the Transfiguration, is about the Pharisee and the publican. So that's always a great reflection upon pride and humility. The Pharisee is filled with pride, and the publican is practicing humility and asking God to have mercy on him, a sinner. And the Pharisee is comparing himself to the publican, and that's where we go wrong. We should compare ourselves to God, and that's what the publican was doing. "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." But part of humility is to accept fully and completely everything that God has revealed. And you see, it would be pride to say, "If I don't understand it, I won't accept it." That's nothing but pride, an abomination to God. So the Holy Trinity, the three in one that existed before anything else came into being, we adore that mystery. And remember, we also have a special relationship with each of those three persons. They work together, yes, but they have this difference in relationship. And they want us to relate to each of them as a person. You know, in the month of July, I was reflecting a great deal about grace, about how precious it is, how tragic to lose it through sin, that we cannot go to heaven without grace, sanctifying grace in our souls. And here's one way to think of grace insofar as the three persons of the Trinity are concerned. You might say that the Father created this, well, it is his very own life, so he didn't create himself, but he created insofar as it's a gift. That gift that it comes from the Father. He adopted us in baptism. And then the Son redeemed us. He won back grace for us that had been lost through sin. And then the Holy Ghost lives in us as the sanctifier. He's doing the work of sanctification in our souls. So I'm not sure how common this little example of relating grace to the Trinity, but I think it's something that we could use, something we can think of, something we can cultivate in our minds, because again, what's our most important relationship? It's with Almighty God, not with a fellow human being. That comes second. Your number one relationship is with God, and it's with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And secondly, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two great commandments on which everything else depends. So as we celebrate this great feast of the Transfiguration, let us thank our Lord for giving us this event. And of course, it was a secret event at first because he told the apostles, tell no one until after the resurrection. And by the way, why was Moses and Elias there? The gospel in St. Luke tells us Jesus was talking to them about his upcoming passion and death. So you see, there's that link between suffering and glory. And Moses and Elias are the two individuals identified from the Old Testament who, like Jesus, underwent a 40-day fast, no food whatsoever for 40 days and 40 nights. And so we can see why our Lord chose them to be there when he would be talking about his sufferings and his death, because they suffered in that willing way. So they were there, but Jesus is showing to the apostles the glory that comes from suffering, from doing the will of God, to doing the will of the Father. And so the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So may you grow in your love, your devotion to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And let us pray that we persevere, that we may glorify them forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.